Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back. This is Joe Beamer. Mark is taking some personal time off, but we expect him back soon. In the meantime, you know I'm happy to be with you in this final hour, and the deadline has hit. We are 4 minutes post-deadline, and to talk about the deadline and beyond is Scott Warman from FanDuel Sports Midwest. Scott, good afternoon.
Joe, great to meet you, man. Welcome to St. Louis. I understand you're all geeked up about your Mets getting Ryan Helsley, huh?
I'm very happy about the bullpen. Now, if they could just come back to New York tomorrow and actually have the bats working, then we might have a complete team.
Well, it takes a little bit of time, but I'll tell you what, that's a heck of a top of the order that you have there in New York. But I'll tell you what the San Diego Padres did today, kind of getting off the Cardinal thing. Acquiring a couple of big bats, or at least one big bat from Baltimore. I think the Padres and a couple of teams are definitely going for it. It's really been an interesting day as trade deadline officially ended just a couple of minutes ago.
I know the Padres are bulking up, and it just reminds me of the hell I went through in the 2022 wild card series. But Scott... Scott, right before we went to a break, we heard about Phil Maton. Now, we all knew that it was, 99% sure that he was going to get traded, and it looks like he did right before the market closed.
Yeah, Maton is apparently going to the Texas Rangers for a couple of prospects, and what those prospects are hasn't been released as of yet. The Cardinals haven't made it official, but all reports from national writers and insiders are saying that Maton is being moved. And Maton, actually, Joe, he didn't even travel with the ball club to San Diego. He, along with Steven Matz, of course, the Matz trade to Boston was made after the game last night around 11 or so Central time. So those guys pretty much were anticipating that they were going to be dealt before this 5 o'clock trade deadline. And sure enough, Maton is the one to go. So the guys that had expiring contracts out of the bullpen is pretty much the route the Cardinals took to try to add or beef up, if you will, their prospect pool down in the minor leagues.
Hey, Scotty, Ethan here. You look at now, as Joe mentioned a moment ago, the deadline coming and going now. The Cardinals bringing in a lot of low-level prospects in the Helsley deal. They get Blaze Jordan back from Boston for Steven Matz. Not sure who the prospects are here in this Phil Maton deal. I know it's hard to really get a gauge as to what these prospects will be, but up to this point, it sounds like from, nationally, everything that the Cardinals have got back, they feel pretty good about, and a lot of people like the potential that of some of these young guys.
Yeah, I'm the same with you, Ethan. I read about some of these prospects that the Cardinals have acquired, and some of those guys that follow it on a day-to-day basis have actually given the Cardinals some high marks. In fact, you think about the trade late last night, guys, from Steven Matz going to Boston, and the Cardinals acquiring first baseman third baseman Blaze Jordan. Well, that's a guy that the soon-to-be president of baseball operations, Chaim Bloom, actually drafted when he was with the Red Sox organization just 5 years ago. So obviously there is some familiarity, and obviously Chaim Bloom probably is appealed by someone like that. And, obviously it tells me, at least Ethan and Joe, is the fact that, maybe Chaim, and we'll find out here eventually if Chaim did have some say-so in working with current president of baseball operations, Sean Mozeliak, on some of these deals, because obviously now the Cardinals are looking towards the future instead of the here and now. So you would imagine if that's the case that, Chaim obviously might have had some guys on the list from each team that he was kind of interested in. And so that's hence why the deals have been made. It's kind of an interesting situation when you think about the Cardinals. They trade three relievers, and they don't get any MLB players, per se, back in this deal for right now. So now the Cardinals have to go out and they have to bring back three players from their minor leagues. And Joe, just to let you, and I know Ethan knows this and other Cardinal fans, I mean, the Cardinals have just a plethora of injuries within their minor league system as far as pitching is concerned. So we're getting down to the nitty gritty as far as, you know, what they can bring up. In fact, they had a game today, the Memphis Redbirds did, that's the Cardinals AAA team. And there were several names, if you will, that have played up with the Cardinals professionally that didn't even get in today's game for the Memphis Redbirds, which you would presume that at least a couple of those guys, or three of them at least, will be coming up. But I think the other intriguing part is, how is this going to play out in the last 2 months of the season? You kind of hope that there isn't a serious injury, especially to your starting rotation, because I don't know where the Cardinals actually return or go to try to fill the bill. God forbid somebody gets injured here in the last couple of months of the season.
Scott, looking at the team, I mean, as you mentioned, they're going to have to dip down to the minor leagues, but is there anyone that you're surprised is?
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Still on the team post deadline?
You know, honestly, Joe, not really. You know, there was some chatter about maybe Nolan Arenado being back on the list of trades. But I think the thing with Arenado is, first of all, he has the no trade clause. And as we saw during the offseason, there was actually a trade between the Cardinals and the Astros, and he nixed the deal because he has that no trade clause in his contract. The other part of it that's kind of tricky, if you're thinking about trading Arenado, is he has a very sizable contract. And so the other nuance to that whole thing is, how much do you have to eat? How much are you willing to eat of that contract when you're trying to move a guy like Arenado? So I know that was a name that came up. I know several other names that came up, like Lars Nootbaar, who's down in Springfield AA rehabbing after his injury. There's also Brendan Donovan's name that was bantied about. But to be honest with you, for me personally, I'm not really surprised that they didn't make a deal. I think if you dealt a guy, especially like a Brendan Donovan, if you're going to deal a guy like that, who's maybe the heart and soul of this team along with Wilson Contreras, I mean, you're going to have to get a whole heck of a lot for the Cardinals to steer away from a guy like Brendan Donovan, who was your all-star this year in the Midsummer Classic. So to be honest with you, not really. You know, seeing the guys that were, you know, their tenure was up as far as their contracts were concerned, that's something that didn't surprise me. And also, and I know Ethan's down in the locker room, and he's probably heard this as well, is, you know, Ryan Helsley's always kept an open the option that, you know, this is where he's been. He's only known the Cardinal organization throughout his entire life. Going through the minors up to, you know, many years here in St. Louis, that, you know, there could be the realm of possibility, Joe, that he could come back after this year, finishing off at the Mets and wherever their season winds up, that he could come back as a St. Louis Cardinal again. So, but again, you also have to look at it from the situation that you have a different leader running the organization now in Chaim Bloom instead of John Mozeliak. But I think that option still is there, obviously, from what Helsley said over the last week or so.
Katie Wu reporting that the Cardinals receiving back in exchange for Phil Maton a couple of prospects. Mason Molina is a left-handed pitcher currently in high A for Texas, 6'2", 230 pounds. He was a seventh-round pick by the Brewers in 2024. And then Skylar Hayes, he's in AAA, a right-handed pitcher that was drafted in the fourth round by the Rangers in 2023. So that as well as some international money in exchange. So those are the pieces in the Phil Maton deal. So now we know all the pieces that the Cardinals have received back from the different teams that they traded for. So as far as continuing on with this conversation, you know, I know that the expectation, right, was that these three were going to be the three that were traded, Scott. I'm curious, you know, there had been some names that had been kind of fluttered around. Someone out there had mentioned that perhaps there was some interest in Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson. I know you just talked about that a little bit. How much do you think that John Mozeliak and Chaim Bloom and the transition in leadership had to play into specifically only guys on expiring contracts being the ones that were traded? And as a result, with Chaim Bloom taking over here in the offseason, could you see the Cardinals using some of the redundancies that they have on the offseason trade market and maybe trying to bring in some pieces that they need?
Yeah, you know, I think, Ethan, and I mentioned this, I was on a station down in Springfield, Missouri earlier today, and we had this very same discussion. And again, this is a hunch. It's not like I've sat back and had a long conversation with Chaim Bloom or anything. And, you know, only I don't even think Chaim knows once he takes things over. Yes, looking at what we have seen with these trades, do I think that there is conversation, obviously, between the current president of baseball operations and the new president of baseball operations after this season? When you look at some of the parts that the Cardinals have brought back in some of these deals, yes. Is there going to be a different route of how things are handled? I truly believe, and again, this is just a hunch, I think we're going to see a very interesting and active offseason. I think Himes definitely putting his imprint on what you're seeing, not only from what we have seen the Cardinals acquire in these trades that they've made, the three of them over the last couple of days, but also look back a couple of weeks ago, Ethan, when we're talking about the MLB draft, the Cardinals picked, 12 pitchers? Mm-hmm. And all of them are guys that try to throw the ball through a brick wall. Where, you know, you even look through the system, the Cardinals have guys that are pitch to contact. You even look at some guys that they've drafted as everyday players, and it's about power. Look at Blaze Jordan. Look at Jesus Baez, who they acquired. He's got power. So it looks like you're starting to see kind of the route, if you will, of what Chaim Bloom is looking to add to this organization, what he wants out of the St. Louis Cardinals as the head of the operation. He wants to get more power in the lineup, and he wants more power pitching instead of the pitch to contact. At least that's how I see it, what we've seen in the trade deadline, and of course what we saw a couple of weeks ago in the MLB amateur draft as well.
With that in mind, this is the second sell-off in 3 years for the St. Louis Cardinals. Is it realistic to think a year from now we'll be talking about a team that's buying and making a run for the playoffs?
A tough question. I don't think the odds are very high. I think it all, Joe, depends, honestly, on what happens in the offseason. And while most people are like, no, there's no way, and the percentages are probably not. You're a couple, 2-3 years away with this organization. Again, seeing what Chaim wants to do in the next one or two off seasons. But the only reason I say that with just a small trepidation is just for the fact that I don't think, Joe, you'd ask most people before the season and you saw what the Cardinals did basically through the first half of the year, I don't think anybody would have thought the Cardinals would have been at their precipice at 9 games above 500. So obviously there is some talent there. And they do have some pieces to the puzzle, is trying to figure that whole thing out from a pitching standpoint, but from an everyday lineup situation. And now we'll see what the Cardinals want to do and see if they want to, you know, try to, you know, spend some money, especially on pitching, to try to bolster that once you get into the 2026 season. But, you know, short answer for that, Joe, is I don't think the percentages are very high that they become buyers again next year, but let's wait and see how things play out, because there's so much to be had, especially in this offseason. I think one of the things besides a player acquisition standpoint is you try to get your 26 to 40 man roster is a lot of people got to sit back and say, hey, you know, does Chaim Bloom want to bring in his own guy as a manager, or do you bring back Ollie Marmol, who I think has proven him to a lot of people out there that, hey, you know what? A lot of people didn't expect, as I mentioned, what this ball club did in the first half of the season. You know, do you give Ollie another chance with a different guy in charge of the organization? So there's just so many balls up in the air that you got to juggle to see what happens, especially in this offseason.
You know, I'm a very optimistic person, Scott, and I know we're talking, you know, a few years down the road. But, I mean, realistically, the Cardinals are 5.5 games out with 2 months left. I mean, what do you think that you're going to see out of this team? What's there to watch for in these final 2 months?
Right now, it's not very hopeful. I mean, when you just got shut out 2 days in a row by the Marlins, early this year or this month, he got shut out 2 days in a row by the Pirates. That to me, as you kind of felt, you looked at the numbers, and I said this, well, he had a great start to the season. Back of my mind is like, look at the back of the baseball cards, or just look up some of the numbers of some of these pitchers in the second half, and we're seeing it, unfortunately, with Sonny Gray, who's their ace. He's really struggling here to start the second half of the season, but that's kind of been his MO, especially in the month of July. But for this team that has some guys that can really hit, not to see them or to see them actually do what they're doing with the lack of offense here lately, that's the one that concerns me. So for me, my hope is that the Cardinals kind of, after they get this whole trade deadline behind them and just start forging ahead, is to play the baseball that we saw earlier this year, where they were, you know, kind of what I'd say as an older guy, Joe, is, you know, playing 80s whitey ball type of baseball, where they weren't hitting a lot of home runs, but they're running the bases well, playing great defense behind their pitching. And it was really, I thought, some exciting baseball that we got to see through the first half of the season.
Are you, you know, I went to the football game at Bristol Motor Speedway in 2016, saw my beloved Hokies lose to the Tennessee Volunteers. Are you looking forward to this Atlanta-Cincinnati game at Bristol Motor Speedway? You think it's going to be cool?
I think it's going to be really interesting to see, because since you've been there, I haven't been there, but I know that it's just a massive stadium. Just to see the dynamics from that alone is going to be really intriguing to me. I'm really kind of excited about this. I'm glad that Major League Baseball is doing this. You know, we saw the Field of Dreams games, what, a couple of years in a row, and the Cardinals and Giants were down at Rickwood in Birmingham. I'll tell you a real quick story, Joe, is I worked for the Missouri Valley Conference, and a year ago in 2024, we did the baseball tournament in Evansville, Indiana, and they have the third oldest baseball stadium in all of our nation. It's called Bossy Field. And there is conversation about them having a game at that Bossy Field. Obviously, an older stadium, there's upgrades that need to be made, what have you. But I think this is really cool, because I had an opportunity, when I had some downtime, to go over to that stadium. And it's kind of like if you go to Wrigley or Fenway, there's just an aura about some of these old stadiums. And I'm sure the same way, and in fact, talking to like guys like John Rooney and Ricky Horton, just the aura that they had in being at Rickwood. And I'm sure there's the same thing, even though I would imagine if you're broadcasting the game, you're going to be way high up away from the ballpark, or at Bristol Speedway, I should say, and trying to catch the ballpark. But yes, I think it's going to be really intriguing. I'm fascinated by all that stuff when you look at a neutral side, if you will, and something a little interesting. It's kind of like if you look at it and correlate it to hockey, where hockey started doing the stadium games and the Winter Classics. And I think it kind of has that little feel to it, if you will, kind of like what the NHL did.
Well, you might not be surprised. I was at the very first Winter Classic here in Buffalo. Scott, great talking with you, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Scott Warman, he is the FanDuel Sports Midwest studio host for your St. Louis Cardinals. We'll be back after this.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.